Friends, the year 2022 is coming to a close. This will be the last episode of Space Castle in the year 2022, the last episode of Season 2 of Space Castle. And I thought I might just take some time to come off the cuff with you guys, just talk to you a little bit. I typically do anyway. It's not a scripted show. I'm sitting here with a glass of eggnog spiked with about an ounce of some really good whiskey. Let's be honest, it's more than an ounce of really good whiskey. And I thought I might take this last episode of 2022 and the last episode of Season 2 of Space Castle to share some of my favorite things of this year. My favorite movie, my favorite TV series, my favorite video game. Give you guys kind of like a state of the podcast address, so to speak. Because there's a lot of stuff coming next year I'm really excited about. I was thinking about maybe throwing in some listener questions that haven't been gotten to up to this point. So grab yourself some eggnog. Pour more than an ounce of really good liquor into it. And let's jump into it. Let's have some fun before the year's end. Welcome back to Space Castle. It is your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, and I am absolutely on Santa's naughty list. Like I said in the intro, I just want to take this opportunity to first of all thank you all so much for supporting the show, listening every week. Whether you've been listening from day one, or you're just now jumping on board, and you're a new friend, you're more than welcome here. Super happy to have you here. The last 2 years have been amazing. March will actually mark the third anniversary of Space Castle. In the year 2023, it'll be the third season of Space Castle, the third anniversary. We're going to hit 100 episodes, and I'm wildly excited about all of it. There's been some changes lately, some more obvious than others. There's going to be a lot more changes in 2023, but ones I'm really excited about, and I think you will be too. A lot of really fun, cool content coming, some guests and collaborations I'm really excited about, some interviews I'm really excited about, one of which, believe it or not, actually had to be approved and cleared by the government. I can't say too much more about it just yet, but I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. I'm ecstatic that it's going to come out soon in the new year, and I think it's going to be fantastic, honestly. But in the meantime, we are still in Season 2 of Space Castle. We're still in the year 2022, if you're listening to this before New Year's, and I want to take this opportunity to just wrap a few things up, and I was going to kick that off, and I want to kick that off by talking about some of my favorite things this year. I know 2022, along with pretty much all of the 2020 years up to this point, have been something of a trial. They've been challenging. They've been kind of shitty at times. But here at Space Castle, the key mission is optimism. It's about getting excited about cool shit. Whether it's stuff that you're remembering and you're feeling nostalgic for, or new stuff to get excited about for the first time, that's what it's all about. So forget all the negative shit that happened this year. Forget all the bad movies, all the bad video games. And I apologize for anything bad that may have happened to you this year. Let's focus on the good stuff. Let's look forward to 2023. And let's kick it in the fucking balls and make it our year. What do you say? So my favorite movie of 2022, and we did a full episode about this where we talked about it at length, and I recommend you just go back and listen to that episode because I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time recounting that whole episode here in this one, but I'm sure you know it's coming already. My favorite movie of the year 2022 was without a doubt Everything Everywhere All at Once. It stars Michelle Yeoh, Stephanie Soo, Ki-Hui Kwan, who, holy shit, I am so glad that this may actually lead to like a renaissance in his career because we've missed, no doubt, so many countless amazing performances from this man who stopped acting way back in the 90s, and he's been missed desperately. Jenny Slate, James Hong, Jamie Lee Curtis, and many, many other amazing performers. This movie, like I said in that episode of Space Castle, was one that while I was watching it, I can feel in real time I was experiencing for the first time something that was going to become one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a rare feeling, it's a magical feeling, and that's the type of movie this is. It's just wonderfully crafted, it's so sweet and sentimental and ridiculous and absurd and hilarious and tragic and just so many wonderful things all just rolled into one incredible package. Written and directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, aka Daniels, it's just a moving piece of cinema. It's kind of hard to just explain why it's so great. It's just one of those movies that makes you realize, it makes you feel that everybody on this planet, everybody who is on this little blue marble floating through space is just woven into this grand cosmic sort of fabric. And every decision we make affects not only the path that we're placing ourselves on, but it deeply affects the paths of the people around us. and the fact that we have sort of a responsibility to those people, especially the ones we care about, to try and be the best person we can be and try and be a bright spot in everybody else's lives. It's one of those movies that makes you take a hard look at your own life and think about the choices you made, and maybe reconsider decisions that you might regret, because sometimes those decisions actually led to something wonderful happening. You know, you may have gone through a really terrible breakup, and it may have broken your heart and left you shattered. And you may have broken up with somebody else and broken their heart and left them shattered. And then maybe you or that other person met the person they were supposed to be with because of that decision. And they brought beautiful new children into the world. And it's just one of those movies where you just realize that everything's connected. And this life is exactly what you want it to be if you want it to be that. And every choice you make is one that just constantly changes your direction in life. But you're not aimless. You have the ability to make choices to choose where you want to end up. You're not powerless in this life. And that's what this movie is all about. It's just fucking incredible. I adore it. I just can't get enough of the movie. I think it's absolutely magical. I think it's fantastic. And I think what was achieved with this movie is honestly one of the crowning achievements of cinema in modern times, really. It's just phenomenal. If it doesn't win all the awards, then all the awards can get to fuck, basically, because it's without a doubt my favorite movie of the year. I think it's one of maybe the best movies ever made, which I know is a bold statement, but shit, man. It's a great movie. It's a movie that makes you fall in love with movies all over again. And I'll stop gushing. Everything Everywhere All at Once is my favorite movie of 2022. And in that same vein, my favorite TV series, my favorite TV show that started out and began in 2022 is without a doubt Star Wars Andor. Maybe you saw that coming, maybe you didn't. It just launched earlier this year on Disney Plus, and honestly, it's really the first justification I can find for honestly having Disney Plus. Even if you're a fan of the old Disney movies and the old classic movies you're able to watch on Disney Plus, like Home Alone and whatnot, which is thematically appropriate for Christmas. I just watched it last night. Never gets old. It's hilarious. There's been a lot of shit on Disney Plus. I've been relatively vocal about my feelings on Star Wars as a whole over the last like 20 years or so. I've been vocal about how I'm not really a big fan of the vast majority of all the MCU, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe TV shows and whatnot. And then Andor comes along, like this little plucky TV show created and developed by Tony Gilroy of Bourne Identity fame. And holy fuck, it's like the best Star Wars we've had in 40 years. Like, it is the Star Wars that I've dreamed of seeing since I was a kid, basically. It's relatively free of the iconography. There's no Force, there's no Jedi, there's no lightsabers. It's just a very stark and honest and organically feeling look at the underbelly of the galaxy, so to speak. You know, it makes us actually sympathize with members of the Imperial, like, fucking bureaucracy and shit, too. It's absolutely wild. It's incredibly well-written. It's organic feeling. Like I said, they actually shot it outside in the sun, in the wind, in the rain. It's not a bunch of actors pretending like they're out in the middle of the desert, surrounded by the fucking volume screens. That feeling of something shot on location, out in the wilderness, out in the elements, under the real fucking sun and stars, is just something that's been greatly missing from Star Wars. Star Wars no longer feels lived in. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel like a real place you could like go to. And it does in Andor, and it's fucking incredible. And I love the fact that Disney has finally realized that the audience for Star Wars is broad enough to where you can have your action figures smashing together TV shows like The Mandalorian and Tales of the Jedi and all that type of stuff. But there's also that large swath of the Star Wars audience that are people my age, or maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger, who crave those more mature storylines with actual actors and deliberate, complex plot lines that have moral gray areas and shit. And Diego Luna and Stellan Skarsgård just absolutely knock it out of the park. To say nothing else of the rest of the cast, they're just fucking incredible too. Like, the show is firing on all cylinders all at once. Andy Serkis just puts on a tour de force performance in the show as well. It's magical. It's fantastic. It made me fall in love with Star Wars again, and that's something I honestly thought was kind of impossible. I aside from still loving the original trilogy as much as I do, I really kind of felt that my fandom for Star Wars was kind of on its way out. I felt like it was just going to be me and the original three movies, and that was going to be it, because I didn't feel like Disney was committed to making good movies. I certainly didn't with the sequel trilogy, and it almost kind of felt impossible because the prequels were so bad too, that maybe that Star Wars magic was just something that couldn't ever be captured again. And maybe it hasn't been. Maybe I love the show so much because Andor is also its own animal. It's something new, it's something unique, it's something challenging within a universe that I grew up loving. So maybe it's a combination of things. Maybe it's a combination of the fact that it's the Star Wars I've always wanted, but it's also surprising me at the same time, and I adore it. I can't wait for season 2. best show of 2022. And I am more shocked than anybody else to be saying that right now, honestly. I do want to throw in an honorable mention, though, because Severance on Apple TV was also fucking incredible. It's a psychological thriller sci-fi show. It's got Adam Scott, who you might know from Parks and Recreation, Britt Lauer, Jen Tulloch, fucking John Turturro, Christopher Walken, and Patricia Arquette. It's about a bunch of office workers who have undergone an operation to sever parts of their brain so that when they go into the office and they take the elevator down to the lower levels, their consciousness is flipped like a switch. So essentially, they're living double lives. They have their outside life outside of the office, and they're free to do whatever they want, and they're not burdened by whatever's going on at work. And then when they come into the office and they go down that elevator and their brains are triggered, they have what they call innies, which is essentially just a completely split personality that exists only in the office and does all the work and allows the person who underwent the operation to live peacefully outside the office without the stress. And then the person working inside the office gets to do all the work and whatnot without the stress of the outside life. But what's interesting is like a lesser show would have kept that secret and that would have been the twist. This show actually throws that out there at the forefront and lets that be organically the catalyst for the tension and the suspense in the show. And the show delivers it in spades. It feels like a premise that could have worn thin very, very quickly and could have become very tedious. But the show just continuously feels fresh and exciting and interesting. And you come to love both sides of all the characters. Patricia Arquette just puts on a clinic. She's just incredible in the show. She's amazing. Christopher Walken, it's really cool to see him in a more subdued and more subtle role, and he's great. Same with John Turturro. John Turturro is somebody who is just as comfortable in a wild and outlandish fucking movie like Transformers or some shit, as he is a very understated role like this. The cast is impeccable. The writing is impeccable. The direction for the show is fantastic as well. Like Ben Stiller, like who knew? I mean, I knew because I fucking love Zoolander, but who knew he was capable of directing something like this, and he just knocks it out of the park. The show is amazing. Again, I think it wholly justifies the actually really affordable subscription for Apple TV. They are not a sponsor. But between Severance and For All Mankind, like there's really no excuse to just not pay like the $6 or $7 for Apple TV. Both stellar shows, but yeah. Andor takes the cake. Severance is just beneath that. It's actually been a pretty fucking good year for TV, honestly. So thank you for that, 2022. And finally, my favorite video game of 2022. It's been a year of ups and downs with video games. Don't get me wrong, I thought Elden Ring was fucking amazing, and it was the first of the Souls-likes games since pretty much Dark Souls where I was actually engrossed and interested, because I'm generally not a fan of the genre. It's a weird thing for me to say that I don't enjoy games that are hard just for the sake of being hard, because I grew up in the NES and SNES era where that was pretty much all we had. It was like Castlevania, fucking Mega Man, all these games that were just hard as fucking nails, and I loved it. But I've never been a big fan of the whole Souls-like thing where it's punishing for the sake of being punishing. However, Elden Ring strikes an incredible balance between being hard but also being very rewarding. And I think the whole open world aspect just blew it up in such a great way where you're not married to having to fight a boss that you're not able to defeat right away until you defeat it. Like, you're able to just withdraw, go and explore the world. You can level up, get new skills, get new weapons, get new summons and shit, and then come back and kick that boss's ass. And it's very, very rewarding. So that's my honorable mention. My favorite game of 2022 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. And if you know me, you saw that coming. Holy fuck. It came out on November 15th, and it was actually developed by Tribute Games and published by Dotemu. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize. I don't speak French. Probably should. It's a dope language. But man, it is just a reprisal of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle beat-em-up games that I grew up absolutely loving. So I played the NES game, the very first one. I've never beaten it. My mom actually beat it and blew my fucking mind. But for me, my love affair with the Ninja Turtle games absolutely started with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. Because, I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so I still remember, like, when mall arcades were dope, when they were really fucking cool, and begging my parents for another quarter to try and get as far as I could into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, which is fucking difficult, as all arcade games are. But then we got that home version on the NES. And goddamn, did I play the fuck out of it. And me and my best friend at the time in first and second grade, Benjamin Zamora, if you're out there in the world and you're somehow hearing this, hit me up, dude, because you were my best friend when I was a little kid, and you were the best. You were awesome. But we kicked the shit out of the game so many goddamn times, and it was just so much fun. And then we had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, and then that, of course, was followed up by Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, which I believe I got for like my 9th birthday or something when I was a kid. Got it for the Super Nintendo. That's still honestly to this day my favorite Ninja Turtles game. It's just a blast. It's so much fun to play. And you know, decades came and went. And then, like I said, in November of this year, 2022, Tribute Games and Dotemu, they put out Shredder's Revenge. And from the very first trailer I saw, I just knew it was going to be fucking amazing. It's an absolute labor of love. The number of subtle but fun references to all the previous games that came before it, the art direction, the pixel style art, the combo system, the controls, the sound effects. Holy shit, they got all four original voice actors from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon from 1987 to play the Turtles. The game just so wonderfully encapsulates everything I love about the Turtles, everything I love about them growing up. On top of that, the game is actually incredibly fucking well made. It's super fun. It's punchy. It actually takes a little bit of time to get through it and beat it, which is really, really cool. And it's just such a legitimately good, fun game made by people who love the franchise and wanted to do right by it. And people who actually know how to make really good beat-em-up games, too. These are the same folks who made, like, the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game, which is just pitch fucking perfect. It's just a great game. It's so much fun. I think I played through it probably about 100 times at this point, and I don't see myself getting bored of it. I've gotten nearly all of the achievements, just having a blast tearing through it. Even playing as Donatello, who's slow as fuck. Sorry, Seth. I know he's your favorite, and you like him because he's got the biggest reach, but he's slow as fuck, and it's really difficult to play as him after having played through all the other Turtles. Oddly enough, the character that I have the biggest affinity for control-wise and combo-wise and playthrough-wise is actually April O'Neil. Obviously, my first playthrough was Raphael. He's the best turtle. He's my favorite. But April O'Neil was the character I actually connected with the most and like felt the most like natural playing with. She just fucking kicks ass. And then you've got Casey Jones, who's just a massive powerhouse and fun to play as. Tons of like one hit, two or three hit kills. Just great. Super fun. The game's balance is super great. Multiplayer is a blast. It's hard for me to say there's a game that came out this year that's just better put together and just as much fun to play. It's just a genuinely excellent experience. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. It's available on all the platforms. If you haven't played it yet, go fucking play it. It's incredible. It's so much fun. It's great. Can't say enough good things. I did a full episode on that one too, so go listen to that episode as well. And those are some of my favorite things that have come out of 2022. Aside from all of you guys. Doing Space Castle every week has been just a joy. Every week for the last 2 years, coming up on 3 years now. And I just have nothing but incredible appreciation for everybody who's listened to every podcast episode every Wednesday and everybody who's taken the time to, you know, jump on the YouTube channel as well and watch all the stuff we're doing there. The YouTube channel is up past 115 subscribers at this point, which is amazing to me. And I know that sounds like a small number, and I don't know, maybe it is, but to me, it feels like a million people. And it feels like that's where all my favorite channels have kind of exploded from that point on. I don't know if Space Castle will ever be gigantic. But in the meantime, I'm just having a blast doing it, and I'm just having a blast interacting with all the people who are into the same dumb shit that I am. Everybody who's having a good time watching the videos and listening to the podcast. That's why I do it. I do it because I love talking about this stuff first and foremost, but the fact that other people are engaging with it and taking something away from it is just incredibly rewarding. And I want to thank every single one of you guys personally. Whether you've been like a ride or die from day one when we launched a podcast, or if this is the first episode you ever listened to, like, thank you so much for jumping on. I really appreciate you guys, each and every one of you. You're amazing. And I want to take the time out to actually call out by name our Patreon supporters too on patreon.com/spacecastlepod. I cannot tell you how invaluable you guys' support is. And I'm not even talking about, you know, the money you guys paying to subscribe to, you know, the content and whatnot, which is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I cannot, you know, tell you how much I appreciate that. But the fact that you guys are willing to invest in me and the silly shit I'm doing here is just, it's hard to quantify in words how much that means to me. So Damien, Chrissy, Seth, and Anna, you guys are amazing. And I just want to also show my appreciation to patrons who have moved on. I understand why. It's been a really weird year. You guys are fantastic too. I'd love for you guys to come back at some point if you want to, but I understand if our paths have diverged at this point. I just want to know that you guys are amazing. So everybody who's ever shown support for this show, whether it's the YouTube channel or the podcast, you guys are just incredible. And yeah, you keep me wanting to do this every week. So thank you for that. You facilitated my hobbies into a new hobby. And podcasting and doing YouTube videos has afforded me the ability to make so many new friends, meet so many amazing people, and just do some really cool shit that I wouldn't have ever done otherwise. And I really appreciate everybody who's listening and everybody who's watching. So thank you. And yeah, that brings us to, like I said before, something of a state of the podcast address, which I think is probably a little overdue, or probably right on time, considering it's the end of the year, it's the end of the season, and we're coming up in a brand new year and, you know, all kinds of cool shit. There's been some changes with the podcast, obviously. The format's changed. It's going to continue to change as I try and figure out what this thing is going to be going forward. I want to do a lot more YouTube stuff. I want to do some gaming stuff on YouTube that I'm really excited about. I think you guys will really dig. There's some videos coming out pretty soon, early in next year, and it's going to be in a playlist called The Wreck Deck. So if you're familiar with the format of the show, the Space Castle is literally a castle floating out in space, sort of going for that whole Saturday morning cartoon vibe, that sort of He-Man, Hanna-Barbera, that kind of wacky shit. And yeah, the recreation deck on the Space Castle. It's a multi-level Space Castle. There's a theater deck, there's a recreation deck, there's a mess hall, all kinds of cool stuff. But the recreation deck is where I go to play video games. It's where I invite other friends to come play video games or tabletop games and so forth. So you're going to see a lot of activity there. I've got a couple of projects in mind that I'm really excited to crank out. Some cool stuff over there, so keep an eye out for that. Real Drunk is going to continue. So fucking excited about that. Our most recent episode, at the point of recording this episode of the podcast, is closing in on 1,000 views, and that is just wild to me. Me and a bunch of friends just getting drunk while watching dumb old movies, and other people are really getting into it. And beyond even like the watches and the views and stuff, like people are commenting and having conversations. And that's what Space Castle is all about. It's about bringing people together and having a good time and getting excited and telling jokes and just enjoying each other and enjoying ourselves. And yeah, I'm just super thankful that people are latching onto it. And the latest video is just blown up the way it has. I hope future episodes continue to blow up. I think Superlaser Seth is a dynamite co-host. He's so much fun to watch these movies with. It's just been great. Gonna have some special guests on the show as well. If you've seen previous episodes of the series, you know that we had like Billy from We Watched a Thing on there. He was fantastic. We had Skyler from the incomparable Omega Star 7 come on and watch a movie with us too. There's gonna be a lot more special guests on Real Drunk coming in the new year. Get excited for that. I'm excited for that. It's gonna be great. We're going to watch some dumb movies and just get heavily inebriated. It's going to be fun. But like I said, ever since sort of like the last quarter of 2022, the podcast is in something of a transitional mode. And I, like I said, I'm figuring out what that's going to be and what the podcast is going to be like going forward. I'm enjoying just kind of monologuing like I have been in this episode and the last few episodes. I want to have more guests on there. So if you're in a podcast or you're the host of a podcast or you're interested in podcasting, and you'd like to jump on and talk about something nerdy, hit me up. You can do so on Twitter, on Instagram, and even TikTok if you want to be one of those weird people who sends DMs on TikTok. At Space Castle Pod. You can also shoot me an email at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to try and tackle all those at once, I'll take the multiple messages across multiple platforms. Why not? You can do so at the newly remodeled spacecastlepod.com. That is a work in progress. I'm very, very happy with how it's turning out. There's a blog component that I'm excited to jump onto and really kind of crank out some writing and whatnot, kind of flesh out some things and tell you guys about all the cool shit that's coming up as it's coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, if you've got thoughts and suggestions about what the show might be, what you would enjoy hearing or seeing on it, by all means, hit me up. I've got some thoughts and ideas. I'm going to see how they play out. It's going to be different, but it's really going to be fun and exciting. I'm excited for it. Because I'm having a blast just being able to have this be like a multi-level sort of creative outlet where I get to flex my graphic design skills, my sound editing skills, my sort of improv skills, my public speaking and all that kind of nonsense. Just have really cool conversations. And yeah, it's just been super fun. It's been great. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. Hopefully you guys don't plan on stopping listening and watching anytime soon because that'd make me sad. But but I will keep going. And please keep sharing the whole platform, the whole Space Castle deal with your friends. That's been the coolest part, is talking to people and then being like, yeah, I really like this podcast episode. Or I really like that episode of Real Drunk on YouTube. And I shared it with a bunch of friends and they loved it too. I can't tell you how moving that is for me, that people are enjoying my stuff so much that they're actually sharing it with people they care about. That's just, it's what it's all about. It's so much fun and so moving to hear that. And I really appreciate that. If you can't tell, I'm pretty deep into this glass of mostly whiskey with some eggnog splashed in. It's actually really tasty. Perfect beverage. I promised we were going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go back to sort of a throwback situation where I was going to tackle some listener questions that have kind of been collecting dust on the shelf. And I really sort of apologize for that. So, let's take a look at the old mailbag and see what we've got here. Switch the Envelope, who is another fantastic podcast. They ask, what is your favorite game on any system, and why is it GoldenEye 64? GoldenEye 64 is super fucking fun. That is a fantastic game for the Nintendo 64, of course. If you haven't, get together a bunch of friends, drink a bunch of beer, and make up your own rules in multiplayer. That's the coolest thing. One of my favorite ways to play multiplayer in GoldenEye 64 was to play what we call Terminator. I think we might have pulled it off of like IGN or something back when IGN was cool, back in the 90s. Where one person plays Jaws, they're the Terminator. One person plays the cop, and of course they're the T-1000. You've got Natalia, or maybe Xenia on top, and there's Sarah Connor. And then Oddjob, for lack of a better character, is John Connor. So Sarah Connor and the T-800, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jaws, have to protect John Connor, and you boost up the cop, who is also the T-1000, his health all the way to the top, make him almost unstoppable, and his mission is to kill Oddjob, aka John Connor. It sounds goofy. If you do it just right and you set all the health levels, you know, the way they should be, it's actually a lot of fun. It adds a whole new dimension of gameplay to multiplayer, which is already super rich and was well ahead of its time at the time. But yeah, GoldenEye 64 is dope. But my favorite game on any system, that's a really fucking difficult question. Let me just say that my favorite console of all time is still the Super Nintendo. As much as I love the NES, the Super Nintendo was just the bulk of my childhood. I adore it. I still have my original SNES. I've got two copies of the Super Nintendo Classic. I bought an extra one just in case something happened to the first one, because I love those games so much. My favorite SNES games are probably Secret of Mana, Mega Man X, Turtles in Time. I think it's a good list. I think that's a good list for right now. Well, I mean, Final Fantasy VI, of course. That goes without saying. I mean, the Super Nintendo was just a fucking juggernaut as far as like Squaresoft games. Man, I missed the fucking 16-bit era. Something fierce. But yeah, favorite console, SNES. Favorite games on that console, Mega Man X, Final Fantasy VI, Secret of Mana, Turtles in Time. Thank you, Switch the Envelope. Excellent fucking question. Peter Stolk writes in, and he asked a long time ago, I'm very, very sorry, Peter. If you had to choose a theme song for yourself, what would it be? This is an easy one. My name is DT. There is actually a fucking banger of a song by AC/DC called DT, believe it or not. It's a fucking great song. It's killer. It was on the album Who Made Who, and you'll probably remember it as being sort of the blue album with like Angus Young standing between a bunch of columns, like Roman Colosseum type columns. It's like the third or fourth track on the album. It's a dope fucking track. It's just this banger, really heavy drums. If I was like a pro wrestler, like that would be my walkout music. If I was a pro baseball player, that'd be my like at bat music for sure. And it's got my same fucking name. So I like to joke and tell people that it was written for me, even though I've never met AC/DC. Yet. Thank you so much for asking that question, Peter Stoke. I am so fucking sorry it took me so long to get to it. Let's see, what else have we got? Richard asks, dubs or subs? I'm just going to assume this is in relation to anime. I'm typically a subs guy, and I'm that way with like foreign films and stuff too, where I miss the natural and original inflection of the voice actors. I drive people nuts because I insist on the subs whenever I'm watching a foreign film. I just think it's the way you should watch the movie because it's the intended performance by the actors and how the director actually intended it to go. However, the dubs in some anime, like Cowboy Bebop, is just fucking legendary. Like Steve Blum is just incredible, just an amazing voice actor. So maybe it's a little bit hypocritical, but it's in very rare cases where I actually really, really enjoy the performances of the American actors doing the dubs. So I'm like 90% subs, but like 10% dubs. So Richard, thank you so much for asking that question. Hope I've answered it for you. Sorry it took so long to get to it. Let's do one more before we wrap up this last episode in season 2 of Space Castle. The last episode of 2022. Let's make it a good one. What do we got? Chad, longtime friend of the podcast, he asks, why are forced stealth missions the worst thing in video games? That is a very good question. And I think it's because most developers are trying to like pad out the storyline and they don't really think things through. I think he's probably, because if I remember correctly, he asked this question right about the time that Spider-Man came out on PS4, or maybe he played it on PC, which again is a really fucking long time ago. And I'm really sorry that a lot of these questions have just gone neglected for so long. But if I remember correctly, he was expressing some discomfort in the Mary Jane and Miles Morales mini like side missions in Spider-Man PS4. And I personally didn't have a problem with them, but they did stick out like a sore thumb, and they really were really weird. I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know why developers insist on putting stealth missions into games that are not stealth-based. And I fucking love me some like stealth-based games. I played through the original Splinter Cell and many of its sequels many, many times. Those games were a blast. It was so much fun to try and figure out new and different ways every time you play through to sneak around enemies or take them down without getting noticed or do like no-kill runs and stuff like that. It was awesome. But I don't think they're necessarily the worst thing in games. I think it's just so jarring when one gets thrown in there and it throws off the rhythm of the game. Like, I love PS4 Spider-Man from beginning to end. I think it's one of my favorite games of all time. I think that the personification of Spider-Man and the characters in that game are just so fucking spot on. I think it's fantastic. Yuri Lowenthal, to me, is like the equivalent of Kevin Conroy playing Batman. I think he just knocks it out of the park. But enough gushing about that. I think it's just because it throws off the rhythm of the game. They come in without warning, and you just want to get back to like swinging or shooting guns or whatever it is you've been doing in the game prior to that. I don't think that stealth missions are nearly as bad as really fucking bad escort missions. Getting back to GoldenEye 64, there's that fucking jungle mission where you're trying to escort Natalia, or the train mission where she's just a worthless piece of shit and she slows you down. And she gets killed so fucking frequently because she does stupid shit and she runs into the fucking line of fire and gets herself killed. I had to replay those missions as a little kid so many goddamn fucking times because the AI was so bad. Escort missions are probably the worst thing that video game developers ever created. And I hate those even worse because if you fuck up in a stealth mission that's shoehorned into a game, it's because you fucked up. If you fuck up in an escort mission in a video game, like 9 times out of 10, it's because the game fucked up. Hope that answers your question, Chad. If not, I don't know, I'll buy you a beer next time I see you. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of Space Castle. This very last episode of Space Castle in the year 2022. The very last episode of Space Castle in the second season. Guys, I've said it before in this episode, but I am so excited for 2023. I am so excited for the third season of Space Castle. We're going to be hitting our 100th episode early on in the year too, which is super exciting. We've had some like side quest like episodes thrown in there as well, but the mainstream like Starlog episodes, we're going to be hitting episode 100. As always, Space Castle is your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT. Thanking you as always for listening and hanging out with me every single week. If you're enjoying the show, please continue to share it with friends. It's like the best thing in the world. It's the best feeling in the world. Leave a review on your favorite podcast player. We're on Spotify. We are on Apple. We're on Good Pods, which I personally adore and love. I think it's awesome. I think they're doing more for podcast discovery than anybody else is out there on the internet. I think podcast discovery is something the internet desperately needs. So support them if you can too. You can support the show by joining up at patreon.com/spacecastlepod. You can check out more information about me and the show and other various projects I'm working on at spacecastlepod.com. And yeah, that's going to do it. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Whatever you're doing this winter, please take care of yourself. Take care of others. And just be a force of good out there. Let's take care of each other. Let's just make 2023 fucking incredible. I know we're capable of doing it. Let's fucking do it together. I love you guys. Thank you as always. I will talk to you next year. Be good.